Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
Back to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you as we work our way up from the bottom of the first round all the way to the top. And that brings us to the Detroit Lions. We'll talk about what happened to them in 2014, the additions they've made thus far, who they have lost, what are the fantasy implications of those moves, and what could be some of their draft targets come the draft in just a few weeks. If you've missed any of our other podcasts, you can check them out at fantasyguru.com. But so far, we've hit the Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Colts, Broncos, Cowboys, Ravens, Panthers, and the rest of this week after they hear the Cardinals, you hear the Lions, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. So we're moving right along with these podcasts. Hopefully you're enjoying them so far. We'll be about halfway through when we get to the end of this week, but we'll take you all the way up through April 24th, a week from the NFL draft, and we'll finish up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And while that's a little bit down the road, the MLB season, that is already underway. You want to head to FanDuel.com because they're changing the way people play fantasy baseball. You don't want to miss your chance to get going before the season really kicks into high gear. Sign up now, play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts, and the entry fee starts at just $1. You don't have to wait all year long to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees. You can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And, you know, at this point, there's that positivity about just about every team at this point, Joe. You're all excited about it. But maybe you get 2 or 3 months into the season and the team that wasn't supposed to be very good ends up not being very good. And you're kind of going, well, why do I care about baseball anymore? You can keep caring about fantasy baseball with FanDuel.
And remember, what do you say those entry fees start at?
$1.
Come on, how about it? $1.
$1. That's it. Just $1.
I got a buck.
You got a buck?
I got a buck.
Tom's got a buck. $1. You're in. You're good to go. And that could be all it takes. Maybe you've never played before. You play that one time for a buck, and you go, hey, wait a minute. I can watch all these games and care about them for just
$1. You play for $1. Come on, mister. How about it? $1. $1. And the next thing you know, you're filling out tax forms.
Hopefully in a good way.
Yeah.
Wait, I've made money. Let's get that back. I want my money. For $1, you could jump in and have fun right away. Eric Hafner, hey, he turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. You go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. The special offer for new users, for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. If you used Matthew Stafford last year in some FanDuel lineups, you were probably disappointed. But that's the first time that's happened. He put up his worst numbers in 2015 since his injury-plagued first two seasons back in 2009 and 2010. We were hoping for some improvement from Matthew Stafford, not necessarily from a fantasy standpoint, because that's always been good, but you bring in Joe Lombardi. You got Jim Caldwell coming in there. Okay, these are the guys that are supposed to help Stafford take that next step, refine his mechanics, fix him, make him a more efficient quarterback, not a guy that needs to throw a bunch at the end of the game to get significant numbers, because that's what he's been. He has been a guy, up until 2014, that you go, okay, he might be ugly to watch at times, he's going to throw those sidearm passes. When the game's over, I'm probably going to have 300-plus yards. I'm probably going to have a couple touchdowns. It's going to be there when I need it at the end. It was not like that in 2014. In fact, he finished as the number 20 quarterback, 20.1 fantasy points per game. And this is a guy who was going as the fifth or sixth quarterback. Maybe if you were worried about Andrew Luck's O-line last year, you took Stafford instead. That didn't work out for you at all. He completed 363 of 602 passes, just over 60%, 4,247 yards, 7.1 yards per attempt, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. The completion percentage is actually up slightly, but still in the bottom third of the league. And that's when you add Golden Tate to the mix, a guy that I believe, I think we all talked about this, I was the best fantasy addition of the 2014 offseason. And, you know, his receivers dropped 20 fewer passes. Tate was a big part of that, but 26th in the league in third down conversions. Stafford was taking too many sacks. And in previous seasons, with all of his issues, he had a pretty good O-line and the continuity helped there, but they took a step back there, came through in a pretty small way in the fantasy playoffs for the second year in a row. And unlike in 2013 when you went, well, you had the snow game and Calvin was banged up, there were no excuses at this point in 2014. Calvin was back from his injury. Tate was still there. Eric Ebron, look, he's not there yet, and hopefully he'll be able to take a step forward. But all of the issues for Stafford, guys, did not really show up in terms of improvements, which was supposed to happen with these new coaching staff, and he took a major step backward for us in fantasy.
Tom, I'm going to pose a philosophical question to you here.
Okay.
I don't know if philosophical is the right word, but whatever. Is Matthew Stafford a good quarterback?
I don't think so. But
I don't think so either.
He's been good for fantasy in the past.
This goes back to the discussion we had about Joe Flacco.
Is he one of the 15 best?
Probably. But that tier of good quarterback. Now, I'm not talking elite, just that second tier. Good quarterbacks. It's so small. Because you look at a guy like Stafford and you're like, this guy drives me nuts because he should be good and he is not.
Keeping that Flacco comparison, I almost felt like they kind of managed him like Flacco last year. Don't go out there and screw this up. We have one of the best defenses out in the league right now. We want to play tight games. We want to play low-scoring games. Don't screw this up.
You guys bring up Flacco, and that's an interesting name because I've always thought they're pretty close. And really, up until 2014, I would have taken Stafford. And maybe that's fantasy blinders on for me, but
I think so. Yeah.
If you have Flacco in the Lion offense last year, I think he puts up pretty big numbers because he's never had those kind of weapons. Stafford has always had Calvin Johnson. At the very least, he's always had Calvin Johnson. You know, he's had Reggie Bush in the backfield catch pass. He's had Joy Bell. We talked about the big addition of Golden Tate. Worked out great. We'll talk about Calvin a little bit with Calvin's injuries. There was no excuses for Matthew Stafford. And he has his worst season, healthy season, in his career.
At this point, he's Pudgy Jay Cutler. If that's the way you want to look at Matthew Stafford. And should he be better than he is? Yeah. Does he have a chance to be better than he is? Well, I'd take Matthew Stafford over Jay Cutler if that's what you're asking.
Sure.
The guy's just 27 years old. But you can't argue that the guy hasn't had opportunities. He's had good offensive minds. They brought in an offensive-minded head coach. They brought in Lombardi from the Saints to help him run maybe a more consistent type of offense, an offense that'll help him out a little bit more, and his numbers just go down. Now I think we need to see him a second year in the offense, but he doesn't have believers anymore in the strict sense. Maybe that's wrong. NFL 10s, 10th quarterback off the board. We just talked about him finishing 20th. Is last year the outlier?
We'll find out. I mean, I think this defense is going to take a step back next year with Sue gone. I mean, they played a lot of 17, 14 games last year, and we just haven't seen the Lions do that very much lately. Do they have to open it up a little bit more? Do they have to give, you know, Stafford more rope next year?
They've been very pass happy. Even still last year, they were still pretty pass happy. I mean, you know, you look at the amount of balls that they put in the air.
602 compared to some of his.
But it's still a big number. Yeah. But look, he had the biggest passing season ever in terms of attempts a couple of years ago. I mean, 602 is still a big number, but I agree.
Still, like 100 less passes, fewer passes that he's been throwing.
I mean, does that hit you in the head of, oh, well, he's not throwing as much, so he's not that good of a quarterback? And yes, of course his fantasy numbers are going to drop, but he adds Tate to the mix. And let's talk about the receivers here. And you know, you got Calvin. We know about him. Golden Tate. You know, you draft Eric Ebron. As we talked about, Tate was great. Now, Tate was better even than expected. I thought you'd be able to get him as a number three wide receiver, and I thought he could be a two. For a time, he was a number one. Now, that fell off when Calvin was really backing into the mix, but I thought Tate stepped up in a big way. Had never played. He went from an offense in Seattle where passing was not a priority at all to an offense in Detroit where it was a big part of the offense, and it felt like it was going to fit, and it did. 99 catches on 143 targets, so he caught 69%+ of his targets. 1,331 yards, 13.4 yards per catch, just four touchdowns. So with just four touchdowns, he was still the number 15 wide receiver with 16.2 fantasy points per game. Now, I bring that up because I love when receivers get into that upper echelon where they finish without scoring a bunch, because it tells me there's probably room for improvement there even. Now, that's a great season, but with only four touchdowns, he's still the top 15 receiver. That's a guy that was pretty darn consistent. However, when you look at his numbers in terms of when Calvin was healthy, when he wasn't healthy, you did see Tate drop off. And that is a concern somewhat, and maybe part of it's on Stafford as well. But when you look at when he was great, it came when Calvin Johnson was out of the lineup. And, you know, to the Lions' credit, they had a guy in Tate where they didn't have that guy in the past that allowed them to rest Calvin Johnson. And you look at those times when he was out, 10 for 154 against the Saints in Week 7, 7 for 151 against the Falcons, 11 for 109 against the Miami Dolphins in Week 10. And then after that, guys, he never had 100 yards. He threatened it a couple times. He topped five catches just two times and had one touchdown after Week number 8. So, you know, you talk about consistency, 99 catches, yes, but if you break down the game logs, I know I brought up consistency. Yeah, he's going to threaten for five catches, but he was so much better early in the season that when it dropped off, you kind of wondered what happened there. Was it on Tate? Was it the return of Calvin Johnson? What about Stafford just not playing nearly as well in 2014 as a whole, especially down the stretch?
And I think a lot of this is on Matthew Stafford. Golden Tate was producing elite type of numbers, catching nearly 70% of his passes, which is unheard of for a wide receiver. 13.4 yards per catch, very good for the type of receiver he is. But when Calvin is out there, Stafford only has eyes for Calvin Johnson. And you almost wonder, is he throwing the ball at Calvin Johnson too much?
I think that's a legitimate concern. Do we also have to take into consideration that Calvin just can't stay healthy at this point?
Well, that's
we're talking about these MFL 10s. Do you like to get a guy like Golden Tate, considering that Calvin might miss three or four games, and he has these spikes in production? Now, this is just for those MFL 10, but you know he has those highs whenever Calvin is out of line.
And the thing is that he's tried to play through these injuries in the past, and he missed all or parts of five games and ended up with 13 games that actually appeared in, but there were times where he was useless. The word decoy is brought up a little too often with Calvin the last couple of years because he's tried to play through these injuries. Like I said, having Tate allowed them to sit him down, and it got Calvin healthier, and Calvin did actually finish the season on a high note, which is nice to see. However, you get concerned about this. And the final eight games of the season, look, 49 for 729, six touchdowns, 19.7 fantasy points per game. He was the number one guy at that point. But at this point, talking about these MFL 10s, you know the upside of Calvin Johnson, and maybe it's not as big of a deal when it's these MFL 10s, but if you're in these redraft leagues and Calvin's been a first-round pick, I don't think he's even close to the first round this year because there's so much more talent wide receiver and because you're pretty much banking on him to get hurt, which makes sense at this
age. But I'll take him in the second round. So the market's almost kind of correcting itself because I'll still take Calvin in the second round. MFL 10s, he's going off the board around the 15th pick. I think that's fair for a guy, as we pointed out, has really high highs, and you don't have to worry about the lows because they'll automatically take him out of your lineup. But what now is Calvin's long-term value? The guy's 30. He's always injured. I think it's a debate that Calvin Johnson's sell point in dynasty leagues is already passed.
Agreed. Absolutely. I think it's definitely passed. And because the first thing that someone's going to say to you now is, oh, he's always hurt. You're going to look to the negative. That's the first thing that's going to get brought up for a guy as great as he's been. Well, he's always hurt. Why would I want to bring that guy in if he's going to miss time? And with Stafford struggles, and you know, you add Tate to the mix, you don't have that selling point anymore of they're going to throw the ball 650-plus times, Stafford's going to throw it a bunch to just Calvin Johnson because they don't have anybody else. You have Tate, and now let's talk a little bit about Eric Ebron because, look, he was the number 10 pick, but I don't think anybody should go in with high expectations for a rookie tight end. We know they take time to kind of get going. He was a little bit banged up last season, ended up with just 25 catches on 46 targets, 248 yards, 9.9 yards per catch, on a one touchdown, 4.7 fantasy points per game in 12 games. Pettigrew was still out there, 62% of the snaps. Fournier was out there, 23%. Ebron played 51%. We know he struggles a little bit. We expected that there. And the thought, though, is you need another big-time receiver to go along with Calvin Johnson and maybe to plan for the future here. So he didn't show us really much at all. Still needs to show improvement as a blocker. I think that got better. Picking up the pro game, being healthier, all of that stuff is going to help. And when you play on the same team with Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, and you are a pass-happy offense, you would think that there will be more chance for Ebron without the focus on Ebron, especially after he struggled as a rookie.
Yeah, he needs to improve as a blocker. He also needs to improve as a pass catcher because he dropped a ton of passes last year. I mean, this cannot happen when you are a top 10 pick at the tight end position. And we like Derek Ebron. And I know this was a heavily criticized pick, but for fantasy, we really like this pick, Tom. Nothing I saw out of Eric Ebron last year I could consider a positive, though. He was in over his head.
Yes, he was. But at this point, you know, he's going to be taken late in drafts, you know, this summer. He's only going to be 22. He has all the talent in the world. Do you take a bet on a guy like that this summer? I think I would. I mean, depending on where he's going. I mean, what kind of data do you have on where he's
NFL
going?
NFL 10, 15th tight end off the board.
That's too high.
Right behind Kobe Fellino, right ahead of Jason Witten. Ahead of Kyle Rudolph, ahead of Jordan Reed, betting on the breakout from Eric Ebron.
I don't think you need to bet on it, though. That's the thing at the tight end position. Now, I think he's a guy that needs to step up, clearly. I mean, this is why you took him in the first round. He gets the year two. I don't think there's that window. It's like, oh, he's got more time. No, he needs to do it now, and he should be able to do
it. It's a really difficult position to learn. The tight ends, you can argue, outside a quarterback, those are the guys who have to learn how to do the most on offense because you have to learn the both the blocking schemes and the route tree.
Yeah, I mean, and they're lining up all over the field at this point. You know, they're in the backfield.
Right.
They're at the moves position.
A lot more to learn.
It's a harder position to learn than wide receiver. I think you can argue
Wide receiver. Hey, you're the X. Go line up.
You have more responsibilities. You think you'd have more responsibilities as the tight end.
Go catch the ball if you're the receiver.
Let's talk about the backfield here because I think it's a backfield that's certainly in flux. And as we get into some of the draft needs, I think running back is going to jump out here for the Detroit Lions. Reggie Bush is gone. He's in San Francisco, and he was pretty much useless last season. And I think they realized, well, we can replace what Bush did, if not more, with Theo Riddick, because at least Riddick can stay on the field. Riddick had 34 catches on 49 targets, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns in 14 games. And, you know, there was talk from Caldwell of, you know, when Bush was hurt, okay, you know, even when Bush comes back, Riddick will be involved more. And that really didn't happen for the most part. Joyt Bell played 60% of the snaps, 37% for Bush, 19% for Riddick. Not much as a runner between the tackles, we know that, but I think this is a guy that can threaten for 50 catches. And you know, you have Joyt Bell there, who's a nice player. He's nothing great. I think if, you know, they get to the draft and look at running back and see an upgrade, they'll certainly take an opportunity to grab one. And, you know, Bell and Riddick as a pair can probably work okay.
I don't know if running back is going to be a priority for them in the draft. By the way, Theo Riddick, if you're drafting him, and I'm PPR, I'm totally for it. This is a guy who, when I watch him, does not impress me in the least as a runner.
Oh, no.
He's really herky-jerky, even in the open field. Now, I think he's one of those guys who, even when his motion doesn't look, frankly, like Reggie Bush, one of those guys who could just juke you out of your shoes. I think he just has an innate understanding of how to make a play in the open field. But Riddick does not have compact range of motion. It really, for a guy his size, means he's going to struggle as a between-the-tackles runner. He is a pass catcher.
I think the best-case scenario for him is being a Shane Vereen type. It can come in and, you know, catch you four or five balls in a game. He's not going to do much for you as a runner. So they need to add an extra, you know, another back that can run between the tackles, and you'd think they'd address that in the draft here.
From week 10 on, you know, you look at the numbers here for Joyt Bell. He was the number 10 fantasy running back with 15.3 fantasy points per game. Finished 223 carries for 860 yards, just 3.9 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns.
5 fumbles last
year. 5 fumbles, lost them late too. 34 catches, 53 targets, 322 yards through the air and a touchdown. Number 16 running back, but the late season surge when he was the guy when Bush was out really pushed him to that spot. But, I mean, I like Joy Bell as a pretty solid player, and I think he works in an offense where you have Calvin and Tate, and it's a pass-happy offense. And you wonder how they do treat this position going forward. Are they happy with a Bell-Riddick combination?
I think they might be. There's so many running backs available in this draft that I think even teams who you look at on the surface and say, oh, that team has greater needs than running back, could take one. And I would put the Lions in that category.
Especially since they finished 28th in rushing last year.
Frankly, I really hope they don't, because the thing about Joy Bell is separate what he does as a player. This is a guy, when he's on the field, produces for fantasy.
Yeah, when he gets opportunity,
he
does it.
He does.
And I mean, it just happens.
He's solid but not spectacular. I think you know he's a fine number two to have.
Good and short yardage. Yep. He can catch the ball.
And that's his role, and they give him those chances.
I think for fantasy, if they don't draft a back, Joy Bell's going to be going in the third round, and I think it's fair, to be completely honest with you guys, because he can play on three downs, and he plays in short yardage.
See, for me, I'm not going to touch him in the third round, because I know I'm going to treat him as a number two back. And if that's if he's there in the third round, I'm going to look at receiver or a higher-end player, a player with a much higher ceiling, and know that I can find someone that or a combination of guys that's going to put up Joy Bell numbers over the year. I don't think you need to take a guy like that in the third round. He probably will go in the third round, and people go, well, I got to get that back still. People are still on that train. I don't think it's necessary to take a guy like Joy Bell in the third round. Now, talking about draft and going into the draft, this is a team that I think needs to replenish on the D-line. The defense in general, I mean, as good as they were, they still need to replenish pretty much all three phases of their defense right now, up front, all three levels, I should say, of their defense. And the O-line, I think, is a big key here, because they were down to some third stringers at the end of the season. And, you know, like as I said, in previous years, the O-line has been a positive for this team. It's been a strength of this team. It was a detriment to this team last season. And I think, like I said, all three phases of the defense, specifically the D-line, though.
Lose Sue and Farrelly.
Now they've traded for Haloti Ngata, but where is not at his career.
You're just patching at that point. You can't lose Sue and Farrelly and think you're going to replace them. It can't happen. Your defense is going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing they can do is be reactionary to those losses, because you lost two really good players, especially Sue. And I know Farrelly was in and out of the lineup. You cannot go out and just replace those players and expect the same kind of production. Not what's going to happen.
One good thing, though, from this offseason, they got to keep Terrell Austin, who I think is a real superstar as a defensive coordinator.
Yep.
So that's one good thing. Ngata, you know, Ngata can come in. You know, he's not the Ngata that we've seen the last couple of years, but he's still Pro Bowl caliber. You know, he's not the all-world player that Sue is, but he'll do a decent job up front.
We take your questions here on the Franchise Focus podcast, and if you want to send them in, use the hashtag Franchise Focus and tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. We get one here from 412 TJ. You think it's time to move from Calvin for Amari Cooper in a PPR keeper? Trades must be made before NFL draft. Just a keeper, but it's a special rookie spot, which you keep the same rookie each year or pick up a new one or trade for another. So a lot going on there, somewhat complicated. But I think
I'm still not entirely sure what the roster structure is here, but I think the point is,
would you take
if
Calvin
you have Amari Cooper, you can keep him in this rookie spot for as long as you want him, essentially. And I'm going to boil this down to, if I'm in a dynasty league, would I trade Calvin Johnson for Amari Cooper?
I think that's, if we're generalizing this for everybody, I think the thought is, would you rather have Amari Cooper or would you have Calvin Johnson going forward? I mean, it comes down to, where is Calvin in his career at this point? How much do you trust him to stay at this high level?
I am unbelievably bullish on Amari Cooper. And I think if Cooper lands anywhere where there's a glimmer of hope offensively, the guy's going to step in and be an instant fantasy contributor. I think he's an instant number two in a PPR. I would trade Calvin Johnson for Amari Cooper in a second if I can keep Cooper forever. I would do it in a second.
See, I'd still lean towards keeping Calvin. I just the uncertainty of knowing where Amari's going to land. I mean, if I knew Amari was going to land at Oakland, I think I'd take Amari in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
but
even if you're down on Derek Carr, you have to think Derek Carr's the type of quarterback who's just going to pepper Amari Cooper.
No, that's what I that's if he would land in Oakland, yeah. I would do it in a heartbeat. But just that uncertainty, I'm just a little bit hesitant to pull that trigger on that trade.
The fact that we're having the conversation, though, tells you, I think, you know, that we're at a bit of a crossroads right now with Calvin Johnson, even though he finished the season on a high note. And I always like saying that. I always like seeing that, that if a guy had injuries and he's getting older and then comes back and finishes on a high note, you go, okay, he's not done yet. It's not all trending downward. He's trending back up. But there's enough questions about his age and his injury history that you start to wonder. And he's a big guy, right, absolutely. And as you said, they've added Tate, they've added, Eric Ebron. Where is Stafford at? There's enough questions there to at least talk about Calvin's future and certainly some question marks surrounding it at this point in time. So we appreciate the question there. As I said, get them in, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus, and we'll answer them on each and every podcast. And if you have responses to these podcasts after you listen to them, think we're crazy, questions come up after the fact, you could certainly tweet the questions to us. And as we're looking forward, we can tell you that the MLB season starts. Well, it's already underway, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. They're having more fun than ever. You can play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait all season long to win. You can play today and win tonight. There's no season-long commitment, no upfront fees, and you can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And maybe you find guys, Tom, that you never even knew about before. Or I always say this in daily sports, is that if you're in a redraft league and you know you did four or five drafts, season-long league, and you didn't get a guy you really wanted, well, guess what? In FanDuel, you could play that guy at some point in your lineup. Whether you can afford him or not, you know what? I want to root for that guy today. Yeah, that's the fun part of it.
There's always guys that, you know, first couple weeks of the season, you see him for the first time, you're like, wow, this guy's a star. And you can ride those guys in these daily leagues, you know, before the market corrects itself, and, you know, you can earn a little cash by doing that. So I love the format, and hey, let's do it early here, before the market starts to correct itself.
It certainly might happen, and it's early enough that you could jump in and have some fun doing it. Eric Hafner had fun. He's from California. He turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. You could join in the over 1 million other users who have already won money. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. So you go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we come to the end of this Franchise Focus podcast on the Detroit Lions, we can tell you that the rest of the week we'll have the Steelers, the Bengals, the Eagles, and the Bills. We've already done the Cowboys, the Ravens, and the Panthers, and the Cardinals this week. You can check out all of our Franchise Focus podcasts on the site. Got them all listed for you so you know when they came out. Of course, the Blog Talk Radio as well. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan for Joe, at FG_Brolin, Brolly for Tom. All of it covered there for you. The post-free agency podcast that John Hanson and Greg Cosella's up, the pre-draft rookie report that Joe and Tom put together also up. We'll have a post-draft rookie report, and you can get in right now at FantasyGuru.com with the early bird special at $24.95. That's $5 cheaper than our top price. So you want to get on there now, or $45 for the two seasons. So saving even more money. And we have plenty of content going up. It's the off-season.
It sounds like a bargain for how much we put
up
there.
There's stuff going up now as we stand here in April. We've had stuff in March and February and plenty more to come. It's the off-season in the NFL, but if you're a fantasy football nut like the rest of us, there is no off season. So that'll do it for this edition of the Franchise Focus podcast. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brolly, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for a whole lot more at FantasyGuru.com.